I couldn't stop. I kept scrubbing, adding more soap, even after all of the blood was gone. "Tristan," Elizabeth said, breaking me from the trance I was in. She turned off the faucet, took a towel, and wrapped my fingers in the cloth. "What did he say to you?" I leaned forward, placing my forehead against hers. I breathed in her scent, trying my best not to fall apart. She was the only thing still holding me together. "He said I killed them. He said it was my fault that Jamie and Charlie were dead, and he said I would end up doing the same to you." My voice cracked. "He was right. I killed them. I should have been there. I should have been able to save them." "No," she said in a commanding tone. "Tristan, you didn't. What happened, whatever happened to Jamie and Charlie was an accident. It wasn't your fault." I nodded. It was my fault. I blamed my mom, but she loved them. It wasn't her, it was me. It's always been me." Each word was harder to get out than the one before it. Breathing was becoming a chore. "I have to go." I stepped away from her, but she blocked the exit. "Elizabeth, move." "No." "Lizzie." "When I fell apart, when I hit rock bottom, you held me. When I lost it, you stayed. So take my hand and come to bed." She led me to her bedroom, and for the first time, she unmade the right side of her bed for me to get under the sheets. I wrapped my arms around her as her head lay against my chest. "I ruined your birthday," I said softly as sleep grew heavy on my eyelids. "It's not your fault," she replied. Over and over again, she said those words. "It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault." As my heartbeat slowed to a normal pace, as my fingers caressed her skin, as I began to fall asleep, a part of me started to believe her. For a few hours that night, I remembered what it felt like to not be alone. For a few hours, I stopped blaming myself.
Chapter 31. Elizabeth. I tiptoed to the kitchen around 6 in the morning, leaving Tristan resting. The whole house was silent, but I could smell the scent of freshly brewed coffee filling the rooms.
"You're a morning person, too?"
Mike asked, smiling my way with a mug of coffee in his hand. He seemed like such a friendly guy, and just seeing his smiling face made me feel awful for how I'd treated him and Mama the night before. He pulled out another mug and poured a cup of coffee for me.
"Sugar? Cream?"
"Black," I replied, taking the mug from him.
"Ah, something we have in common. I like to say your mom drinks her sugar and cream with a dash of coffee, but for me, the darker the better."
He sat down on the stool at the island, and I sat beside him. "I owe you an apology, Mike. Yesterday was terrible." He shrugged.
"Sometimes life is weird. You just have to deal with the weirdness and hope that you find some weirdos who will move forward with you."
"Is my mom your weirdo?" He smiled wide. "She is." His fingers wrapped around his mug, and he stared into the dark coffee.
"Richard was an awful person, Elizabeth, and he did some terrible things to Hannah. When they came into my office that day, I watched him put his hands on her in the worst way. I sent him out of my office, where he left her crying. I canceled all of my appointments that day and allowed her to just sit in my office for as long as she needed. I understand you thinking that this thing between her and me is fake. I know all about her history with men, her history of hurt, and I want you to know that I love her. I love her so much and will spend the rest of my days protecting her from any more hurt."
The mug shook in my hands. He hurt her? He hurt her, and I said those terrible things to her last night.
"You didn't know."
"That doesn't matter, though. I should have never said those things. If I were her, I wouldn't forgive me."
"She already forgave you."
"I almost forgot that both of you are early birds." Mama yawned, walking into the kitchen. She raised an eyebrow my way. "What's wrong?" I stood up and rushed over to her, wrapping her in my arms.
Liz, what are you doing?
Congratulating you on your engagement. Her face lit up.
You'll come to the wedding?
Of course. She hugged me back tighter.
I'm so glad because the wedding is in 3 weeks for the new year.
3 weeks? I said, my voice rising. I paused, feeling the nerves in my gut. Mama didn't need my opinion right now. She needed my support.
3 weeks. Wonderful.
Mama and Mike left a few hours later, after a game of Zombieland with Emma, complete with their own ketchup scars. Tristan, Emma, Zeus, and I sat on the couch for a while, before Tristan pushed himself up on his elbows and looked my way.
Want to go shopping for my place?
We still hadn't finished adding the small touches to his house, the things he claimed he didn't give a crap about, like throw pillows, paintings, and all the small decorative things I loved.
Yes,
I chimed, always looking for a reason to go shopping.
Those are ugly, Tick,
Emma said, wrinkling her nose at Tristan's choice of purple and mustard yellow throw pillows for his couch.
What? These are great,
he argued.
They look like poop.
Emma laughed. I had to agree with her. It's almost as if he thought, ooh, let's make my house completely hideous after Lizzie and Emma worked so hard to make it amazing.
Yeah, Emma nodded. It's like you thought that.
She flipped her hair over her shoulder.
You should just really leave this to the experts, like Mama and me.
He laughed.
Tough crowd.
Emma stood on the back of the shopping cart, and Tristan took her shooting around the corner, bumping straight into someone.
Sorry.
Tristan apologized quickly before looking up.
Uncle Tanner!
Emma squeaked, jumping off the cart, running over to Tanner to wrap him in a hug.
Hey, kiddo.
Tanner said, giving her a squeeze before putting her down.
What happened to your face?
Emma asked. Tanner looked my way. I stared at his bruises from the night before. Such a big part of me wanted to comfort him, but another part wanted to slap him across the face for what he'd said to Tristan about his family. Tristan, do you think you could take Emma over to the paintings and have her pick out some artwork for you? I asked. Tristan gently placed a hand on my forearm.
Are you okay?
He whispered. I nodded. They walked off, but not before Tristan apologized to Tanner. Tanner didn't utter a word to him, but the moment Emma and Tristan left, it seemed that he had a ton of comments to spit my way.
Are you serious, Liz? Last night he attacks your friend, and now you're running around the store with him as if you are some happy family? And you sent him off alone with your daughter? What would Steve...
Did you say it was his fault his family is dead? Tanner narrowed his eyes.
What?
Tristan told me.
Liz, look at my face.
He stepped in closer to me. My throat tightened as I stared at his black and blue eye. He pulled up his shirt to reveal his left side, which was badly bruised.
Look at my ribs. The man you just sent off with your daughter did this. He fucking attacked me like a beast, and you're sitting here asking me what I said to him? I was drunk. I might have said some stupid things, but he snapped out of nowhere. I saw it in his eyes, Liz. He's completely mad.
You're a liar. He's lying. He's lying. Tristan is good. He's so good. You should have never said anything about his family. Never. The heels of my feet spun me away from Tanner, and I yipped when I felt his tight grip on my forearm. He forced me to face him once more.
Listen, I get it. You're mad at me. Fine. Be mad. Fucking hate my guts. But I know there's something off about that guy. I know there's something wrong with him, and I'm not going to stop until I find out what it is. Because I care too much about you and Emma to let anything happen to you both. Yeah, okay, I said some shit I shouldn't have said. But did I deserve this? It will only be a matter of time before you say something wrong and he snaps on you.
Tanner, I said, my voice low. You're hurting me. He dropped his tight hold from my arm, leaving red marks on my skin where his fingers had been.
Sorry.
When I reached the artwork section of the store, I found Tristan and Emma arguing over what to buy. Of course, Emma was right. Tristan smiled my way and stepped toward me.
Are you okay?
He asked again. I placed my hand against his cheek and stared into his eyes. His gaze was soft and gentle, reminding me of all the good things in the world. While Tanner saw hell in Tristan's stare, I only saw heaven. It had been 3 weeks since my birthday, and slowly everything was going back to normal. That night we were driving to Mama's town for her wedding that weekend, and before we could leave, Emma had somehow talked Tristan and me into getting her ice cream in 20-degree weather. "I think mint ice cream is nasty," Emma said as we walked back from the ice cream shop, Tristan holding her on his shoulders. She was eating a plain vanilla cone, dripping ice cream into his hair every now and then. As a few drops fell to his cheek, I leaned in and kissed them away, then gently kissed his lips. "Thanks for coming with us," I said.
"Mostly I just came for the mint,"
he replied with a playful smirk. The smirk stayed on his lips until we walked closer to our houses. When his eyes met the steps of my porch, the playfulness left his eyes, and he lowered Emma off his shoulders. "What are you doing here?" I asked Tanner, who was sitting on my porch with papers in his grip.
"We need to talk,"
he said, standing up. His eyes shifted to Tristan before moving back to me.
"Now."
"I don't want to talk to you," I said sternly. "Besides, we are leaving in a few minutes to go visit my mom."
"Is he going with you?"
he asked, his voice low.
"Don't start, Tanner. We have to talk."
"Tanner, look, I get it. You don't like that I'm with Tristan, but I am, and we're happy. I just don't see why you can't be..."
"Liz,"
he shouted, cutting me off.
"I get it, whatever, but I need to talk to you."
His eyes were glassed over, and his jaw was tight.
"Please."
I looked to Tristan, who was staring my way, waiting for me to decide my next move. It seemed as if Tanner truly had something to say, something that was eating at him. "Okay, fine. Let's talk." He sighed with relief. I turned to Tristan. "I'll see you in a few, okay?" He nodded and kissed my forehead before saying goodbye to me. Tanner followed Emma and me inside, and while Emma went to her room to play with some toys, we stood at the island in the kitchen. My hands gripped the edge of the counter. "What do you want to talk about, Tanner?"
"Tristan."
"I don't want to talk about him."
"We have to."
Breaking away from his stare, I moved to the dishwasher and started to unload it, just to keep busy. "No, Tanner, I'm really sick of all of this. Aren't you tired of all of this?"
"Do you know what happened to his wife and kid? Do you know how they died?"
"He doesn't talk about it, and it doesn't make him an awful person that he doesn't talk about it. It makes him human."
"Liz, it was Stephen."
"What was Stephen?" I asked, tossing plates into the cabinets.
"The accident with Tristan's wife and kid. It was Stephen. He was the car that drove them off the road."
My throat closed up, and I looked his way. His eyes locked with mine, and as I shook my head, he nodded.
"I went digging for information on the guy, and I'll be honest with you, I was just looking for crap to make him out to be a monster. Faye came into my shop and begged me to stop my witch hunt, because she was certain it would ruin the little friendship I still had left with you. But I had to know what the deal was with this guy. I didn't find anything. It turns out he's just a guy who lost his world."
"Tanner."
"But I did find these articles on the accident."
He held the papers out toward me, and I placed my hands over my chest. My heartbeats were erratic, skipping beats and then speeding up whenever it chose to.
"When Stephen's car lost control, it slammed into a white Altima. The Altima had 3 passengers in it."
"Stop," I whispered, my right hand cupping over my mouth, my body beginning to shake with horror.
60-year-old Mary Cole, who walked away from the accident."
"Tanner, please, don't."
30-year-old Jamie Cole."
Tears fell, my insides twisting into knots as he continued speaking.
"And 8-year-old Charlie Cole, who both lost their lives."
Acid began to rise from my stomach, and I turned away from him, sobbing uncontrollably into my hands, unable to truly believe what he was telling me. Had Stephen been the reason that Tristan lost his world? Had my Stephen been the cause of Tristan's heartbreak? "You can't be here right now," I managed to say. Tanner placed a comforting hand on my shoulder, and I slung it off. "I can't deal with this right now, Tanner. Go." He sighed heavily.
"I didn't want you to get hurt, Liz, I swear. But could you imagine if you both found out later on? Could you imagine if he didn't know until you two were in too deep?"
I turned to face him. "What do you mean?"
"I mean you two can't stay together after this. There's no way."
With hesitation, he rubbed the back of his neck.
"You're going to tell him, right?"
My lips parted, but no words came out.
"Liz, you have to tell him. He has a right to know."
My hands brushed against my eyes. "I need you to go, Tanner. Please, just go."
"All I'm saying is if you love him, if there's any part of you that truly cares for this guy, then you'll let him go. You'll let him move on."
The last thing he said to me was he didn't mean to hurt me. I had a really hard time believing him. Chapter 32. Elizabeth. I didn't know how to tell Tristan what Tanner had told me. We drove to Mama's house, and he could tell Tanner had said something that bothered me, but he didn't pressure me to talk about it. I tried to put on my best smiles for Mama and Mike the night of their wedding reception. I tried my best to be happy for them, but inside my heart was so confused. Emma dragged Tristan out to the dance floor. I couldn't help but smile when I heard a slow song come on and watched Emma step onto his feet. Mama came over to me in her beautiful ivory dress and sat beside me. "You haven't said one word to me all night," she said. Her smile was the sad kind. "I came, didn't I? Isn't that good enough?" Such a big part of me felt somewhat betrayed by her sudden rush to the chapel. She'd always had a way of rushing all of her relationships, but she hadn't been crazy enough to walk down the aisle with a man she hardly knew. I turned toward her. "What are you doing, Mama? Just be honest with me. Were you having money issues again? You could have asked me for help." Her face reddened with embarrassment, maybe anger. "Stop it, Liz. I cannot believe you would say that to me on today of all days. It's just, this is all so sudden. I know. And I know the man has a lot of money. Look at this wedding. The money has nothing to do with it." She disagreed. I cocked an eyebrow. "Really, it doesn't. Then what is it? Give me a reason you would rush into this crazy situation if it isn't for the money. What are you getting out of this?" "Love," she whispered, her lips curving up. "I'm getting love." For some strange reason, those words stung me. My heart was pained as she confessed to the idea of loving another man who wasn't Dad. "How could you?" I said, my eyes watering over. "How could you just throw the letters away like that?" "What?" "Dad's letters. I found them in the garbage bin before Emma and I moved away. How could you?" She sighed heavily, folding her hands together. "Liz, I didn't just throw them away. I read each and every one of those letters every evening for 16 years straight. Each night. Hundreds of letters. And then one day I woke up and realized that the security blanket I was wearing was really nothing but a crutch keeping me crippled from living my own life. Your father was a wonderful man. He taught me how to love fully. He taught me how to give in to passion. And then I forgot. I forgot everything he taught me the day he left. I lost myself. I had to step away from the crutch of those letters in order to heal. You are so much stronger than me." "I still feel weak. Almost every day I feel weak." She took my face in her hands and placed her forehead to mine. "That's the thing, though. Your feeling. I was numb. I didn't feel anything but your feeling. One must know what it feels like to be weak in order to really find their own strength." "Mike, he really makes you happy?" I asked. Her face glowed. She really did love him. I hadn't known we were truly allowed to love again. Tristan, she said, he makes you happy? I nodded slowly. And that scares you? I nodded once more. She grinned. Ah, then that means you're doing it right.
Doing what right?
Falling in love.
It's too soon,
I said, my voice shaky.
Says who?
I don't know. Society? What's the amount of time you're supposed to have before starting to fall in love again?
People say a lot of things and give you all kinds of unwanted advice and tips on how to mourn. They tell you not to date for years, to let time pass. But that's the thing with love. Time doesn't exist with it. The only thing love counts is the heartbeats. If you love him, don't get in your own way. Just allow yourself to feel again.
There's something that I have to tell him. Something terrible, and I think I'll lose him.
She frowned. Whatever it is, he'll understand if he cares for you the way you care for him.
Mama. Tears fell from my eyes, and I stared into the eyes that mirrored mine. I thought I lost you forever.
I'm sorry I left, baby. I pulled her into a hug. It doesn't matter. You came back.
Tristan drove us home from the wedding after I had one too many glasses of wine, and Emma passed out in her car seat as soon as we left. We didn't speak to one another, but so much was said when my hand, which had been alone for so long, tangled with Tristan's fingers. My eyes couldn't move away from staring at our touch. I lifted our hold up and lightly placed my lips against his hand.
How could I tell him about Stephen and the accident? How do I begin to say goodbye?
He glanced over to me and gave me his half-smile.
You're drunk?
A little.
You're happy?
He asked. A lot.
Thank you for inviting me. I think my feet are a bit bruised from Emma stepping on my feet so much, but I loved it.
She's crazy about you, I said, staring at his lips. His eyes studied the darkened road as he replied,
I adore her.
Oh, my heart. It stopped, or sped up, maybe both all at once. I kissed his hand once more. My fingers traced every line that wound across his palm. When we pulled up in front of my house, Tristan lifted Emma from her car seat and carried her to her bedroom. As he laid her down, I stood in the doorway watching. He took off her shoes and placed them at the foot of her bed.
I should probably head home,
he said, walking toward me.
Yeah, probably.
He smiled.
Thanks again for tonight. It was great.
He placed a small kiss on my forehead and stepped past me to leave.
Good night, Lizzie.
Don't.
Don't what?
Don't go. Stay tonight.
What?
Stay with me.
He lowered his eyebrows.
You're drunk.
A little.
But you want me to stay?
A lot.
His fingers wrapped around my lower back, and he pulled me closer to his body.
If I stayed, I would want to hold you until the morning, and I know that scares you.
A lot of things scare me. A lot of things completely terrify me. But being held by you isn't one of them anymore.
My mouth parted as he traced my bottom lip with his finger. He softly lifted my chin up so he could kiss me slowly and gently.
I adore you,
he whispered against my lips.
I adore you,
I replied. His fingers rested on my chest, and he felt my heartbeats. I placed my hands over his chest, feeling his.
I like this,
he whispered against my lips.
I like this, too,
I replied. His eyes dilated, and he breathed me in. I breathed him in, too, becoming slightly addicted to his entire being. He smelled like the wind that pushed through the most beautiful pine trees in the forest, refreshing, comforting, peaceful, like home. It had been so long since I had felt like I was home. We took in each other's breaths, silently begging for a little bit more. We headed to my bedroom, where our clothes fell off and our lips came together. Everyone in town thinks this is wrong. Everyone thinks we are a ticking time bomb set to explode any second, I explained, and I am completely positive that I'm going to somehow manage to mess this up. Then everyone will say, I told you so.
For a second, let's pretend that they are right. Let's pretend that at the end of this, we don't end up happy.
He sighed against my skin, his lips rolling over my bare stomach.
But as long as air moves in and out of my lungs,
his tongue danced against the edge of my panties.
As long as I breathe, I will fight for you. I will fight for us.
Chapter 33, Elizabeth. I fell in love with the idea of him first. I fell in love with the idea of a man who could someday make me laugh, smile, and cry all at once. I fell in love with the idea of him loving me for my brokenness, for my pained heart. I fell in love with the idea of his kisses, his touch, his warmth. And then, one chilly morning, I walked onto my front porch with a steaming coffee mug in my hand. He was lying in the snow-covered grass, making snow angels and looking up at the clouds with Emma beside him. They fought all the time, but in the silliest of ways. That morning they were arguing about what animal they saw. Tristan saw a giraffe cloud, while Emma swore it was a penguin, so after a while he pretended to see the penguin too. Emma's lips spread into a grin, and the two grew silent as they moved their legs and arms to perfect their snow angels. It was in that silence that I knew. I loved him. I loved him so, so much. It wasn't a dream anymore, nor was it the simple idea of loving him. It was real. It was true. He was love. He made me smile. He made me happy. He made me laugh in a world that was determined to make me cry. Tears formed in my eyes, and I tried to understand how. How could it be that I was allowed to love such a man who also loved me? It was such a special feeling to love and be loved in return. To find a man who not only loved you, but cherished the best part of you, your baby girl. I was blessed more than words could ever say. Emma and I loved Tristan completely, and he loved us the same. Maybe he loved our scars the most. Maybe the truest form of love grew from the deepest kinds of pain. I knew I had to tell him about the accident. I knew I had to let him know. But I couldn't that morning. That morning, I needed him to know one thing and one thing only. The two stood up from the grass. Emma hurried into the house for breakfast, and I stayed on the porch, leaning against the railing with a smile that was crafted just for Tristan. His hands were stuffed into his jeans, and he had a few grass clippings clinging to his shirt and his damp hair. I was certain Emma had thrown the grass at him. As his foot hit the top step, he kept smiling my way and walked past me to enter the house. "I love you," I said. He turned to me and smiled even wider, because he already knew. Chapter 34, Elizabeth. Late one night, I stood in my closet, staring at all of Stephen's clothes. Inhaling deeply, I began to take them all off the hangers. I removed everything from the dressers. I took everything out of the drawers. Exhaling slowly, I boxed them up to give away. Next, I moved to my bed, and I turned my sheets down. I was ready to fully let Tristan into my life, and I knew that meant I had to start letting go of Stephen. In order to truly begin to move on, I knew I had to tell Tristan about the accident. He deserved to know, and needed to know. If he truly meant the words he spoke about fighting for me, for us, then no matter what, we would be okay. At least, that was what I hoped. Yet a large part of me knew that we wouldn't have been okay after this. Our ticking time bomb was growing louder each day. "We need to talk. I said to Tristan as we stood on my porch, about when Tanner came over before the wedding.
Did he hurt you?
Tristan asked. His hand brushed against my cheek, and he stepped into the foyer of the house, close to me. I stepped back.
What did he say?
The words were on the tip of my tongue, right there. But I knew if I told him, those small touches would leave me forever. My lips parted to try to make him understand, but I knew if I told him what Tanner had found, I would lose him. I wasn't ready to let go of the dream we'd been dreaming.
Baby, why are you crying?
He asked. I hadn't even noticed the tears falling against my cheeks. More tears began to form in my eyes, and he stepped closer to me.
Lizzie, what's wrong?
I shook my head back and forth. Nothing, nothing. Do you think... Will you just hold me for a few minutes? His arms wrapped around my body and he held me tight. I breathed in his scent, almost certain that if I told him the truth, which I knew I had to do, I would lose that moment. I wouldn't be held by him anymore. I wouldn't be touched by him. I wouldn't be loved by him. Tristan's fingers slowly started rubbing my back in a circular motion as I pulled him closer, trying to hold on to something I felt as if I'd already lost.
You know you can trust me, right? You know you can always tell me anything. I'm always here for you.
He swore. Pulling away from him, I gave him a tight smile. I just need rest, that's all.
Then let's go to bed.
He nodded, slowly placing his hand on my lower back to guide me to my bedroom. I mean alone. I just need a night by myself. The disappointment swimming in his stormy eyes broke my heart, but he gave me a sad grin.
Yeah, of course.
We'll talk tomorrow, I promised. I'll stop by Mr. Henson's shop.
Yeah.
He agreed.
Sounds like a plan.
He apprehensively rubbed the back of his neck.
Are we okay?
He whispered, his nerves loud and clear in his tone. I nodded once. He wrapped his hands around my head and rested his lips against my forehead.
I love you, Lizzie.
I love you too, I replied. He flinched.
Then why does it feel like we're saying goodbye?
Because I think we are.
Chapter 35. Tristan. April 6th, 2014. One day until goodbye. I'm dead, I whispered to myself, staring into the bathroom mirror. The pint of whiskey sat emptied on the counter. The orange pill bottle lay on its side, and my vision blurred. I could hear my parents outside the bathroom talking about last-minute details for the day, the plans for the service, and our transportation from the church to the cemetery. I'm dead, I repeated. My tie hung around my neck, waiting to be tied. I blinked once, and when I opened my eyes, Jamie was standing in front of me, tying my tie. What's wrong, baby? She whispered as water filled my eyes. I lifted my hand and ran it against her soft cheek. Why are you falling apart? I'm dead, Jamie. I'm dead. I sobbed, unable to control my howls. I want this to be over. I want this to stop. I don't want to be here anymore. Shh, she whispered, placing her lips near my ear. Baby, I need you to breathe. It's okay. Nothing's okay. Nothing's okay. I heard pounding on the bathroom door. Tristan, it's Dad. Son, let me in. I couldn't, though. I was dead. I was dead. Jamie looked down at the sink and picked up the emptied pill bottle and whiskey pint. Baby, what did you do? My back slid down the wall and I sat against the tub, sobbing. Jamie rushed over to me. Tris, you have to throw up now. I can't. I can't. My hands covered my face, everything a blur. My mind was playing tricks on me. I was fading. I could feel myself fading. Baby, think of Charlie. He wouldn't want you like this. Come on. She moved me to the toilet. Don't do this, Triss. I started to throw up. Everything inside me burned, and when the whiskey and pills rose up from my stomach, my throat was set on fire. I fell back against the wall once I finished. My eyes opened and Jamie was gone. She had never been there to begin with. I'm so sorry, I whispered, running my hands through my hair. What was I going to do? How was I going to survive? Tristan, please let us know you're okay, Mom and Dad shouted from outside. I'm good, I managed to lie to them. I heard Mom's sigh of relief. I'll be out in a few. I could almost feel Dad's hand on my shoulder, trying to bring me comfort. All right, son, we'll be right here when you're ready. We're not going anywhere. Elizabeth had said she would meet me at Mr. Henson's shop the next day, but at the last minute she had a change of plans. 5 days passed without us actually speaking. Her window blinds had been drawn all week, and whenever I knocked on her door, it seemed as if she was on her way out, or simply pretending I didn't exist. I stopped in at Savory and Sweet to see if she was working, and ran into Faye yelling at a customer about how the scrambled eggs were not super runny. Faye, hey, I said, interrupting her argument. She twisted around on her heels and placed her hands on her hips. I could see the uncertainty in her eyes. The last time we'd seen each other was when I attacked Tanner at the bar, and I could tell she was still unsure how to address me. I'd been hearing everyone in town whispering about me, and I was sure lies had somehow crawled their way into Faye's eardrums. Hey, she replied. Is Elizabeth working today? She's out sick. She has been for a few days. Oh, okay. Why didn't you just walk next door and check on her? Did you guys get into a fight or something? She tensed up. Is she okay? We didn't get into a fight. At least, I don't think we did. She just... I brushed my finger under my nose and cleared my throat. She's just not talking to me, and I'm not sure why. Did she happen to say anything to you? I know you're her best friend, and... I think you should go, Tristan. I could tell she didn't believe me. I could tell she didn't believe that I hadn't hurt Elizabeth from the way every inch of her was alarmed. I nodded, and as I opened the door to step outside, I paused. Faye, I love her. I get why you're wary of me, and I understand why you might even hate me. For a long time, I was a monster. After Jamie and Charlie died, I turned into this beast that I didn't even recognize. I'm sorry if I scared you the night of her birthday party, and I'm sorry I snapped, but I would never hurt her. I pressed my fist against my mouth and bit the inside of my cheek to keep my emotions at bay. Last year I died right alongside my wife and kid. I checked out of reality and left this world. I was fine being gone because being alive hurt. It hurt every fucking day. Then Lizzie came, and even though I was the walking dead, she saw past it. Even though I was death, she took the time to resuscitate me. She breathed life back into my soul. She brought me back from the shadows. Now she's not answering my calls or looking my way. I'm falling apart because I think she's hurting, and I can't help her breathe like she helped me. So, yeah, you should hate me. Please, hate the living shit out of me. I deserve it. And because of Elizabeth, I can handle it. I'm alive again. But if you could just do me a favor and go check on her, if you could help her breathe for a little while, that would mean the world to me. I walked out of the cafe and stuffed my hands into my jeans pockets. Tristan! I turned around to see Faye staring my way. Her eyes were softer. Her strong stance was a mere memory. Yeah. I'll check on her, she promised. I'll help her. When I headed to Mr. Henson's shop, I saw Tanner through the window, which made me hurry over. I knew he was probably giving Mr. Henson a hard time about selling his shop again. I wished the dude would give him a break. What's going on? I asked, the bell over the door sounding off. Tanner turned to me with a sly smile on his face. Just talking business. I looked to Mr. Henson, who was red in the face. He hardly ever got upset, but I could tell that Tanner had said something that bothered him. Maybe you should go, Tanner. Give me a break, Tristan. I was just having a friendly chat with Mr. Henson here. Tanner picked up a deck of tarot cards and started shuffling them in his hand. You think you can do a reading for me real fast, Mr. Henson? My friend stayed quiet. Tanner, leave. He smirked and leaned in toward Mr. Henson. You think the reading will say that you're giving me this space? Is that why you won't do it? You don't want to see the truth? My hand landed against Tanner's shoulder, and he flinched. Good. The way he was belittling Mr. Henson had my blood boiling. It's time for you to go. Mr. Henson sighed with relief at me taking hold of the situation, and he walked off toward the back room. Tanner slung my hand off and dusted off his outfit. Chill out, Tristan. I was just having fun with the old man. You need to go. You're right, I do. Some people have real jobs to do. But, hey, I'm glad to hear that you and Liz were still able to work things out after she told you about the accident. That's cool. I mean, hell, you're a better person than me. I don't think I could even deal with being around a person who was involved in such a thing. What do you mean? I asked. He arched an eyebrow. You mean you don't know? Shit, Liz said she told you. Told me? Told me what? That her husband was the one driving the car that slammed into your family's car. He narrowed his eyes. She really didn't tell you? My throat dried out, and part of me considered that he could be lying. Tanner hated me because I loved Elizabeth. He was a sneaky asshole who made it his job to get underneath people's skin, and now he was determined to get underneath mine. The last thing he said was that he was sorry and hadn't meant to start any trouble. He said he was happy that Elizabeth and I had found each other. He said all he wanted was for her to be happy, but I knew that all his words of comfort were full of shit. That night, I sat on my bed with my cell phone in my hand, and I called my dad. I didn't say a word when he answered, but hearing his voice was good. It was needed. Tristan, he said. I could almost hear the relief in his tones. Hey, son. Mom said you called her a while back and didn't speak. She was also convinced that she ran into you when she went to Meadows Creek to see the market, but I thought it was just her mind playing tricks on her. He paused. You're not going to talk, are you? He paused again. That's fine. I've always been a bit of a talker. That was a lie. Dad had always been the quiet one of my parents, much more of a listener. I put the phone on speaker and lay back on my bed, closing my eyes as Dad caught me up on everything I'd missed. Your grandparents are in town, staying with your mom and me, and I think it's safe to say they are driving me crazy. They're having their house remodeled, and your mom thought it would be a good idea to have them stay at our place. They've been here for 3 weeks already, and I've been through more gin than I thought humanly possible. Oh, and your mom somehow talked me into taking a workout class with her because she worries about my healthy diet of Doritos and soda. So I showed up to the class. Turned out I was the only man there. I ended up doing Zumba for an hour straight. Lucky for me, my hips don't lie, and I was a natural. I snickered. He talked to me late into the night as I moved from room to room, listening to him tell me stories, listening to him talk about sports and how the Packers were still the top team in the NFL. At one point, he cracked open a beer, and I opened one too. It almost felt as if we were drinking together. When it was past midnight, he told me he needed to get to bed. He told me he loved me and would always be on the other end of the line if I ever just needed someone to talk my way. Right before I went to hang up, my lips parted. Thanks, Dad. I heard his voice crack and emotion take over him. Anytime, son. Call whenever you need to, day or night. And when you're ready to come back, we'll be here. We'll be right here when you're ready. We're not going anywhere. The world needed more parents like mine.
Chapter 36. Elizabeth.
You have 4 seconds to open this door before I come busting in to find you, woman, Faye shouted on my front porch. When I opened the door,
she gasped. "For the love of God, when was the last time you showered?" I was wearing pajamas. My hair was in the messiest bun of the century, and my eyes were swollen. I raised my arm a little and smelled my underarm. I put on deodorant. "Oh, honey," she frowned, stepping into my living room. "Where's Emma?" "Friday night sleepover," I explained, plopping down on the couch. "What's going on, Liz? Your boyfriend came into the cafe saying you haven't been talking to him. Did he hurt you?" "What? No. He's perfect." "Then why the silent treatment? Why do you look like a homeless person?" She sat down next to me. "Because I can't talk to him anymore. I can't be with him." I went on to tell her about the accident, to explain why things with Tristan couldn't work out. The seriousness that filled her stare was something I didn't get often from Faye, which attested to how serious and real the situation was. "Sweetie, you have to tell him. He's falling apart trying to figure out what he did wrong. I know, it's just, I love him. And I know because of this I'll lose him." "Listen, I don't know much about love. And when my heart was broken, I threw shit. Literally threw shit. After I got done throwing the shit, I was still heartbroken and sad. Someone told me that the heartbreak was worth it, because in the end, at least you got to experience the love." I nodded and laid down, my head in her lap. "When does life stop hurting?" "When we learn to tell life to fuck off, and we find the littlest reasons to smile." "I'm sorry Maddie broke your heart." She shrugged, pulling my hair tie out of my hair before starting to comb her fingers through it. "It's okay, he only cracked it a little. So, what are we going to do for the rest of the night? We can be totally girly and watch The Notebook or some shit. Or we can order pizza, get some beer, and watch Magic Mike XXL. Magic Mike 1. The next afternoon, Emma and I walked into Needful Things to find Tristan smiling behind the coffee counter.
"Hey, you guys," he said with the widest grin ever.
"Hey, Tick," Emma exclaimed, climbing up into one of the chairs. He bent down and bopped her on the nose.
"Hey, Talk. Hot cocoa?"
"With extra marshmallows," she yelled.
"With extra marshmallows,"
he echoed, turning away. His happy demeanor was a bit off-putting. I wasn't sure what it meant, or how to take it. We hadn't spoken in days, yet he was acting as if everything was perfect.
"Elizabeth, can I get you something?"
He'd called me Elizabeth, not Lizzie. "Just water," I said, sitting beside Emma. "Is everything okay?" I asked him as he poured me a glass of water and handed Emma her semi-hot cocoa, which he always added a few ice cubes to. She hopped out of her chair and hurried over to find Zeus.
"Everything's fine. Everything's good."
I raised an eyebrow. "We should talk. I know you're probably upset because I've been avoiding you."
"Have you?"
He smirked.
"I hadn't noticed."
"Yeah, it's just..." He started wiping off the counter.
"That your husband killed my family?" "Yeah, no, that's cool."
"What?" My throat tightened and my ears rang as I replayed the words that had just left his mouth. "How did you..."
"Your best friend Tanner stopped in for a bit yesterday. He wanted to, you know, try to talk Mr. Henson into closing his shop. So then he and I had a talk. He thought it was sweet how I was able to look past the fact that, you know, your husband killed my family."
"Tristan..." He placed the rag down on the counter, stood across from me, and leaned in.
"How long have you known?"
I wanted to tell you."
"How long?"
"Tris, I didn't know."
"Damn it, Elizabeth,"
he shouted, slamming his fist down. Emma and Mr. Henson turned toward us with looks of curious concern. He was quick to usher Emma into the back room.
"How long? Did you know when you told me you loved me?"
I stayed quiet.
"Did you know at the wedding?"
My voice shook. "I thought..."
I thought I would lose you. I wasn't sure how to tell you.
He smiled a tight grin and nodded.
Awesome. That will be $2.20 for the hot cocoa.
Let me explain.
$2.20, Elizabeth.
His stormy eyes were cold once again. There was a coldness that I hadn't seen in his stare since the first day I'd met him. I reached into my pocket, pulled out some change, and placed it in front of me. Tristan picked up the money and tossed it into the cash register.
"We'll talk later this week," I said, my voice shaky. "If you let me, I'll explain everything the best I can."
His back was to me, and he gripped the countertop by the coffee machines. His head lowered, and I could see how red his hands were turning from his tight hold.
"You need anything else?"
he asked.
"No."
"Then by all means, stay the fuck out of my life."
Tristan dropped his hold on the counter, called for Zeus, who came running out toward him, and then the two of them left the store, the overhead bell sounding their exit. Mr. Henson and Emma came out from the back room.
"What happened?"
Mr. Henson asked, walking over to me. He placed a comforting hand on my shoulder, but it didn't stop my shaking body.
"I think I just lost him."
Chapter 37. Tristan. April 7th, 2014. Goodbye. I stood on the hilltop in the far back of the cemetery with Zeus by my side. Everyone else stood around the side-by-side caskets, all dressed in black with tears in their eyes. Mom's body shook in Dad's hold. All of Jamie's and my friends stood by, broken-hearted. Charlie's teacher showed up and cried the whole time. She was probably thinking that it was so unfair. It was so unfair that Charlie would never have the chance to learn how to handle fractions or what algebra was, that he would never learn to drive stick, that he would never have to apply to college or fall in and out of love, that he would never slow dance with his mother at his wedding, that he would never get to introduce me to his firstborn, that he would never get the chance to say goodbye. I wiped my eyes and sniffled as Zeus moved closer to me and laid his head on my shoe. Damn it, I couldn't breathe. They lowered Jamie into the ground first, and my legs wobbled. "Don't go," I whispered. They lowered Charlie next. "No," I begged. My legs collapsed. I fell to the ground and my hands covered my mouth as Zeus comforted me, licking my tears away, trying to make me believe that it was okay, that I was okay, that everything would somehow, some way turn out okay. But I didn't believe him. I should have walked down and stood by my parents, but I didn't. I should have told both Jamie and Charlie I loved them both so fucking much, but my voice went mute. I stood and turned away, Zeus's leash wrapped tightly in my grip. I turned away from Jamie. I walked away from my son. And I learned how much it hurt to finally have to say goodbye.
"So you're running," Mr. Henson said to me a week later as I parked in front of his store to say our final goodbye. I shrugged. "Not running, just moving on. Things come and go. You should know that better than anyone." He brushed his fingers against his gray beard. "But that's not what you're doing. You're not moving on, you're running again. You don't understand. Her husband is not her." "Mr. Henson, my former love adored magic. He spent our whole life together trying to get me to support his dream of opening a tarot shop in this town. He believed in the power of energy and the healing power of crystals. He believed magic had a way to make life more livable. I thought he was insane. I worked a 9-to-5 job and hardly paid any attention to him. I called his dreams of owning his own shop ridiculous. We were already two gay men. Life was already hard enough for us. The last thing we needed to be was two gay men who believed in magic. And then one day he left. At first it seemed so out of nowhere, but as time went on, I realized that it had been all my own doing. I hadn't valued him when I'd had him, so when I lost him, it hit me hard. After he left, I felt so alone.
I realized he had probably always felt that way. No one should feel alone when they are in love. I quit my job and tried to make his dream of magic come to life. I studied the power of crystals and the healing herbs. I worked hard to understand his dreams, and by the time I did, it was too late. He had moved on to someone who loved him in the moment. Don't turn away from Liz because of something she didn't have anything to do with. Don't walk away from a chance at happiness because of an accident. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the tarot cards or the crystals or the special teas. That's not where the magic lives. The magic is in the tiny moments. The small touches, the gentle smiles, the quiet laughs. The magic is about living for today and allowing yourself to breathe and be happy. My dear boy, to love is the magic. I chewed on my bottom lip, taking in all of his words, all of his thoughts. I wanted to believe him, and I thought a big part of me truly did understand his words. But another part of me, buried deep inside my soul, felt the guilt. Jamie deserved more. For me to even consider loving someone else after such a short period of time was selfish. I don't know how to do it. I don't truly know how to truly love Lizzie, seeing how I never said goodbye to my past. You're going back to say goodbye? I think I'm going back to learn to breathe again. Mr. Henson frowned, but said he understood. If you ever need a place to rest your head and a friend to call on, I'll be here. Good, I said, pulling him into a hug. And if you ever sell your shop to some asshole, I'll be back here to fight it tooth and nail. He snickered. Deal. I opened the front door, listening to the bell ring overhead for the last time. You'll watch over them, Emma and Lizzie? I'll make sure that tea and cocoa is never too hot. After we said goodbye, I headed out of the shop, jumped into my car, and started driving with Zeus. We drove for hours. I wasn't certain where I was going or if I even had a place to go, but mindless driving made sense to me right then. I pulled up to the house after 3 in the morning, and their porch light was still on. As a kid, I'd stayed out past curfew way too often and had made life a living hell for them. Despite that, Mom always kept the porch light on to let me know that they were still waiting for me to arrive back home. What do you say, boy? You say we go in? I asked Zeus, who was curled up in the passenger seat of the car, wagging his tail. Okay, let's go in. Once I stood on the porch, I knocked a total of 5 times before I heard the door unlock. Dad and Mom stood there in their pajamas, staring at me, almost as if they were seeing a ghost. I cleared my throat. Look, I know I've been a shit son this past year. I know I disappeared and didn't say a word. I know I've been lost and wandering around in my mind trying to find my way. I know I said some terrible things before I left, blaming you for what happened. But I... My hand brushed over my mouth before I stuffed my hands into my jeans pockets. I started kicking around the invisible rocks on the ground. I was just wondering if I could stay here for a while. Because I'm still lost. I'm still wandering. But I don't think I can do it alone anymore. I just need my mom and dad for a while, if that's okay. They stepped onto the porch, wrapping their arms around me. Home. They welcomed me home.
Chapter 38. Elizabeth. What do you mean he left? I asked Mr. Henson. My hands gripped the railing of the countertop in his shop as he stood making me a cup of tea on Friday afternoon. I'd just dropped Emma off at her grandparents' house for their sleepover, and seeing how I hadn't seen or heard from Tristan in a few days, I was at my breaking point. I needed to talk to him, or at least know that he was okay.
He left 2 days ago. I'm sorry, Liz.
Mr. Henson's bubbly personality was gone, which scared me. When will he be back? Silence. My hands landed against my hips, and I tapped my shoe against the wooden floor. Well, where did he go?
I don't know, Liz.
I chuckled,
nerves and worry building inside of me. He won't answer my calls.